Welcome back to another episode of Book Club Appetizer. We're your book-obsessed hosts, Abby
and Emma. Abby and I are bringing you our snackable podcast that's perfect for kicking off book club meetings or for your own solo reading adventures.
Yep, we're helping make book club easy. We recommend titles that will foster discussion and debate amongst your friends or your book group. Then we bring the author into the studio for an exclusive interview so you can hear about the plot directly from them.
And since we strongly believe that book club is nothing without food and drink, we pair each book with a fitting appetizer and cocktail recipe. So don't say we never did anything nice for you.
The majority of the book we read this month is set in the American West, where our main characters are on a road trip in search of something. And along the way, they stop at many diners for sustenance.
On that theme, we turned to Pools, a new cookbook published by 10 Speed Press and written by Ashley Christensen. Ashley is the chef and owner of Pools, a classic diner in Raleigh, North Carolina, and this gorgeous cookbook is filled with recipes and stories from her modern diner.
Our main characters go in search of some barbecue one night, so in honor of them, we're serving up pork ribs with mustard sorghum sauce. We think ribs are the perfect appetizer because, as Chef Christensen says in the book, it's a delicious delivery of meat on the bone, and it comes with a handle.
What could be better?
But just make sure to provide lots of napkins so your guests don't smudge the pages of their book with saucy fingerprints.
Even though the main character in our book is a recovering alcoholic, we're pairing our ribs with Pool's AC Greyhound, a tart cocktail that's equal parts fresh grapefruit juice and Tito's vodka. So watch out with that one. That's pretty potent.
Yeah.
And before we introduce this month's read, recap the plot, and invite the author into the studio, we do have to warn you. This podcast contains plot spoilers.
This month, we read Celine by Peter Heller, which is a novel that centers on the titular character, Celine, who is a nearly 70-year-old woman who is a private investigator and has spent her career tracking down missing persons. She's tapped by a young woman, Gabriella, to help find out exactly what happened to Gabriella's father over 20 years ago.
Her father was a National Geographic photographer who went missing on the border of Montana and Wyoming, right near Yellowstone National Park. The park rangers and the police concluded that he was mauled by a bear and declared him dead, but his body was never found, and Gabriella has spent her whole life wondering what really happened to him.
Celine and her life partner, Pete, head to Colorado to her son Hank's house and pick up his trailer to start to follow the now long cold trail, and they begin road tripping across the West towards Yellowstone, where along the way they encounter a gang of unruly Hell's Angels, a bear or two, and, oh, they're being tailed the whole way.
Apart from the mystery that's at the heart of Celine, this book says a lot of beautiful things about families, parents, and children who are separated from one another and are missing in some way or another. And this novel is semi-autobiographical. Peter Heller modeled the main character Celine after his own mom.
And I have to say, the main character of Celine was my favorite part of this whole book.
Definitely.
She grew up in France before moving to the U.S., and her family was really well off. She attended boarding school, and, you know, so on one hand, she's very refined, but on the other hand, she's a PI and is seriously skilled with a gun.
She isn't intimidated by anything, and she uses her sharp wit to outsmart a lot of people who try to block her path as she figured out what happened to Gabriella's father. And like many classic cozy sleuths in the vein of Miss Marple, Celine uses her age and her gender as something of a shield and a diversion from all of the kind of very cool PI tricks that she has up her sleeve.
Totally. No one suspects this little 70-year-old woman of being the total badass that she is. Emma, have you read any other of Peter Heller's books?
Yeah, in addition to writing Celine, Peter also wrote The Painter and The Dog Stars, and I have to say, The Dog Stars is one of my favorite books of all time, which is one of the reasons I was so excited that we would be reading Peter's new book this week.
So we could talk about this book all day, but when we come back, we'll have Peter Heller here in the studio to answer all of our pressing questions.
This episode of Book Club Appetizer is brought to you by Blogging for Books. If you love to blog about what you read, this site is for you. They provide free review copies of books in exchange for your honest reviews. It's easy to sign up, so head on over to bloggingforbooks.com and join today.
And now we welcome Peter Heller, author of Celine, into the studio. Peter Heller on Book Club Appetizer. Thank you so much for being here,
it
Peter.
It is great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I loved your new book, Celine. How did the story come to you? Where did this all germinate?
Yeah, novels come in funny ways, I'm starting to figure out. I mean, it's pretty much all new to me. This is only my third one, but they never come about how you think they're going to come about. And I usually start writing with a first line, and I don't plot. I don't outline. I wrote a lot of nonfiction. I always knew what was going to be the end and what was going to happen next because it happened. And,
right.
You know, finally when I get to write fiction, I don't want to be one of those guys who, you know, outlines and all that. I want to be as surprised as the reader. So because I came up in poetry, I'm really interested in the music of language. And usually I just, that's what carries me into the story. So the first line of this book I wrote was something like, my mother's name was Amana Ambrosio. In Warani, it means night rain. And I had heard a story once about a little girl who lived in her own apartment when she was 7, and it struck me. And I started writing Gabriella's story. That's how it began. But before you knew it, Gabriella was calling Celine,
right.
Asking for help. And it just led, you know, it led all by itself into this, investigation. And then it was easy because Celine is based on somebody very close to me.
Mm. Oh, very cool. So, and Celine, she defies convention. I mean, this is not our regular nearly 70-year-old gal. She is a private investigator, she's a sharpshooter, and her wit has not waned with age. And then she can quote Neruda, but then also engage in a high-speed car chase. So describe what it was like to write this protagonist.
Well, it was easy and sweet to write it because Celine is based on my mother. And she died 2.5 years ago, and I think that the reason Gabriella ended up calling Celine very early on in the writing is because I wanted just sort of, you know, my nose led me to want to spend another year with my mother. I was very close with her. And so, you know, really most of the backstory and most of the family history and all of that, everything except the actual case is true and drawn from my mother's history and her biography. So she was born in Paris, as Celine was. She fled when she was around 7. Her dad was a banker named Harry Watkins who worked for Morgan's, and the family fled just before the Germans came in. She arrived in Manhattan speaking only French, and all she wanted to do was be in the French resistance. Just like Celine, her mother, Babu, told me that she would go around Manhattan listening to conversations and trying to figure out who was the Nazi spy, just like Celine. And so she sort of came up with this idea that she wanted to be, you know, an agent and be sort of like, you know, probably later she wanted to be like James Bond. And then she went to college, and like a lot of women in her generation, she married pretty soon after school. And I came along, and I probably quashed her dreams of being a CIA agent or whatever she was going to be that way. But she did start working for a detective agency, and she got her PI license. And, you know, from there it got very, very interesting very quickly.
Wow. So did you feel liberated in a way of taking what is fact that you knew about your mother and laying it into this fictional setting and fictional case?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the reason I chose not to write memoir, you know, because, well, first of all, listen, I've been a reporter, a journalist, you know, for a long, long time. I always wanted to write fiction when I was a kid, but I had to make a living when I got out of college. And they didn't tell me, you know, at the English department, hey, you know, you can't make a decent living writing poetry, you know. So I started writing for magazines. That led to a whole career in you know, journalism, and adventure and environmental journalism, and nonfiction books that grew out of those stories. And you know, when I had a chance to write about my family, I really didn't want to go back and take on the responsibility of memoir, of doing all the research. You know, I really don't like to do research. I like to write poems. You know, I like music and story. And, you know, I didn't want to spend a ton of time, you know, with genealogists and in the library. I just wanted to write, you know, what interested me about the family. And so what I got to do writing fiction was be really free about it and conflate stories. Like, my mother did have a younger sister, Missy, and an older sister, Bobby, and I got to, some of the things in the book that happened to Celine, you know, really happened to her sisters, but I got to conflate those, and, you know, nobody could ever sue me because it's fiction.
Exactly. Create this amalgam of this badass woman.
Yeah. So, but I mean, really, you know, she really was a badass. And I'll tell you some fun stories when you're ready about, you know, some of her cases, because they were, you know, and I put a lot of it in the book. But she was an artist. She did have a very dark streak. Her studio. So my mother's studio is on the dock, kitty corner of the River Cafe, right under the Brooklyn Bridge, right where that river, that taxi comes into Brooklyn Bridge Park, the river taxi. It's that first building with the red door. That's where she lived, as in the book. And she had all this art all over the wall. She made voodoo altars. There were there was Baron Samedi, the god of the underworld, and, you know, human skulls, you know, and top hats. And a window washer did once come in and was so intrigued by her work that a day later he showed up with a skull in a bucket. And he's like, Mrs. Hella, don't ask. And she didn't. She immediately covered it in gold leaf, and it stands on a pedestal looking very elegant in the corner, just as in the novel. So, you know, she was a very interesting person. She had, you know, a lot of layers. But in this book, I chose to write about the investigation stuff.
That's so cool. Well, so, and much of this story, while Celine lives in Brooklyn, much of the story takes place out west, as Celine is hot on the trail. Well, maybe hot on the trail might be. It's a decades old case.
Right.
But she's hunting for clues regarding the mysterious disappearance of Gabriella's father. You know, supposedly he died after being mauled by a grizzly, though we've never seen a body. So you've worked for Outside Magazine and National Geographic Adventure, and the descriptions of the sort of Wild West are so beautiful. Was this sort of in your DNA as an outdoorsman to sort of set some out there in the wild country?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the other thing about writing fiction is you get to, you know, follow your nose, as I said, and go where you want to go. And why wouldn't you want to go, you know, up into the, you know, northwest corner of Wyoming?
Yeah, pack up a camper and go.
That sounds great to me. Man, if I had a spare, you know, couple months, I'd go right now and do some early fishing before the runoff. That'd be great.
So Celine's son, Hank, is a writer, and he spends a lot of time trying to discover who his mother was before he came along, which, as anyone who's
had a parent or especially lost a parent can really identify with, I think. So can we ever really know our parents fully?
Yeah. I mean, can we ever really? I mean, I'm always surprised. So I'm married. I've been married for 15 or 16 years. My wife would probably be mad that I don't know the exact. But I feel like I'm just getting to know her. And she's always saying, like, you know, when we're out with people and I'm telling stories, she always says, you know, I never knew that. You know, it's like a whole part of my life. And so, you know, I feel like, God willing, you know, we will get old and go to our graves still preserving, you know, a certain sense of mystery about the one we're closest to. So, you know, how could we know our parent? I think, you know. And writing about, so the challenge of writing about your mother, there's probably a lot of challenges, and, you know, if you're like, what's his name, Bates, you know, it's probably really, would be really tough. I didn't have a really complicated relationship with my mom. I did probably when I was a teenager. Things were a lot rougher. The challenge of writing about your mother is that, I mean, first of all, there's, you know, your mother is a human being, and she's, you know, probably got flaws and has probably done things she's not proud of. And, you know, you don't know most of those things, but you might know a couple of them. And so, you know, you have to be discreet. You have to be tactful. You want to honor, you know, your parents' memory, but you also want to tell the truth. And so that, you know, that's a little bit of a challenge, and it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And Celine, the character, though there may be some of this rooted in real life, she is a recovering alcoholic and a former four-pack-a-day smoker.
Right.
So in what way did these former addictions really shape the woman she's become? Is she always on the run from sort of these past behaviors?
Well, I think I said in the novel that Hank, the son, has some of the restlessness of his mother. And I think, you know, I share that with my mother. I just share a certain amount of that. I think we both have addictive personalities. And, you know, part of that is a certain restlessness. But we also share a certain sort of yen for adventure. And, you know, that's sort of a very wholesome and positive way of channeling, you know, if you're not comfortable in your own skin, and if you are restless, if you have nervous energy, I think as a younger person, I had a lot more of that. And what that led me to do is to just go on crazy kayaking trips, you know, all over the place. I couldn't sit still. I mean, I'd come home, I'd be home for like a month, and I'd be looking for the next expedition or the next assignment. And I think my mom had a lot of that, too. And, you know, it wasn't, as I said, you know, obviously, like any family, it wasn't always, you know, the Brady Bunch. I mean, you know, when I was in my teens and she was drinking and my father drank, you know, it wasn't that great. And so thank God, you know, she decided to quit drinking. She decided to quit smoking. It was too late. But she was a very, very serious, you know, recovering alcoholic. I mean, she worked the 12 steps and worked them, and she had so many sponsees. I mean, there were people, when she died, you know, there were hundreds of people that came to her memorial, and, you know, a bunch of them were people that, you know, stood up and said, you know, I was a heroin addict, and she saved my life, you know. I mean, she really cared about these other people that suffered in the same way, and you know, and I don't drink, and I think, you know, a lot of that is because I saw it in my family, and, you know, what could that could do. There's also a part in the book where I say that, you know, she always rooted for the hapless, the, you know, the homeless, the lost, the broken, and she did. She was just such a sucker for a stray. So we always had stray dogs in the house, and they became my dogs, you know, Loki and Gilligan. And there were chaotic families, you know, that moved in and would stay with us for a couple of weeks, you know, and that, you know, and to me as a kid, you know, when I'm 12, that's just not that fun, you know. It's fun for a day, but crammed into an apartment in Brooklyn, you know, not great. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
But in reflecting back on it, you can sort of see a little bit of yourself sharing these traits that she has.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. And also the creativity. I mean, she was the type of mom that would say, you know, I'd call and say, hey, I got a great assignment, you know, from outside or whatever. And she'd say, how's the poetry going? You know, she really, really valued art. And she wanted her kids to do the sort of, as Jeed said, you know, kind of do the thing that only they could do, you know. And that was kind of neat.
So is there anything you hope readers take away from reading Celine?
Well, I just hope that they're so endeared to the character, that they love her so much, that they'll you know, remember her always and carry some of her, because I think in a way she's a teacher, you know. She really is sort of a role model in some ways. That's, I didn't mean to write that. We never mean to write that stuff, but after I wrote the book, I thought, wow, this woman is so cool. And she's sort of a role model about how to live with frailty, how to live with vulnerabilities, with flaws, with insecurities, you know, how to live with it all and, you know, make a life that is so meaningful and that helps so many people and that's full of fun and joy and creativity and adventure. And so, you know, I hope maybe she does that for people, you know, gives them something to model. And I hope they love her because she's my mom.
Excellent, Peter. Well, thank you so much. It's been a joy to chat with you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening, readers. We have some reader questions on our site to kickstart your discussion, and a link to the excellent Spotify playlist that Abby put together to accompany Peter's book. They're all songs that would be perfect to listen to on a Wild West road trip.
And if you liked Celine and are dying to read more books like it, well, the Read It Forward team has got your back. We have suggested a few recommendations on readitforward.com/podcast. And Emma and I are over here producing monthly episodes centered on fantastic books we think you should read with your book club or alone. We don't judge. So when it's your turn to pick the book for book club, come see what we've been reading and then go to your group and brag about how you got the best book.
Pretend it's your idea. Take credit. We don't mind. And whether you're a longtime listener or this is your first episode of Book Club Appetizer, we'd love to know what you think of our show. So if you could please take a minute and leave us a review on iTunes, we would super appreciate it.
And as always, don't forget to follow us on Twitter @ReadItForward and tweet about books with us. Happy reading and cheers!